Well, grab your Bibles. We're going to smoke on through it from Old Testament to New Testament or your electronic devices. And we're going to talk about what it means to truly break down all the barriers in our life between us and what God wants to do in and through us. So what does it mean to have ourselves so well prepared and so anxious to see God work in our life that we just can't wait, that we're eager? We're eager to see God show up and do great things. This, again, as we talked, is not only something that we look at from a church standpoint, but it's something we look at from a personal standpoint. So I have to start in my own life. And, you know, that's what SOAP is all about. That's what being in the Word and being in prayer every day is all about, is how do I put myself before God every day and say, Lord, are there any walls between me and what you want to do through me? Is there anything that is causing me to not hear your spirit? And is there anything that's causing me to not love other people? Is there anything that's causing me to not forgive myself in light of the fact that you've forgiven me with such amazing grace? Is there anything standing between me and the willingness to give everything I have so that others would become followers of Jesus? We want to really ask this question this morning. Are we wilderness people or promised land people? Okay, so we're going to be back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy and Joshua here in a minute, and it's the story of the children of Israel who'd really lost an understanding of what it meant to be chosen people. They'd gone from understanding that chosen meant that God had given them extended and unbelievable grace so they could glorify him to the fact of thinking they were somewhat special. They were somewhat unique. And that they were using that image of God's chosen people to actually lord it over other people. They lost their obedience because they'd given in to a sense of fear. They'd become wilderness people. And God said, you can't go into the promised land. You're going to have to stay in the wilderness. I'm going to let a generation die before promised land people can emerge. And we see that it also connects very closely to this understanding of, am I a consumer or am I commissioned? Now, in the Western world, we become consumers very easily because that's what our culture is. I spent an hour and a half with a couple Chinese pastors again this week in preparation for going to South Korea here in a couple weeks, where 300 Chinese pastors will come and we will train Chinese pastors on how to build their church. And one of the things that they're asking for is that they would understand how to put together leadership systems. They because they've been underground and quiet, that's one of the weaknesses they have of really putting together perpetuating leadership systems. But the other thing they want me to teach them is they want me to teach them how to be prepared to do ministry in prisons because they know they're going to be arrested. For Pastor Bob Fu to sit across from me and say, every morning when you wake up as a pastor in China, you wake up thinking, what if I go to prison today? Prison theology. Can you wrap your head around that? To me, that's one of the most extensive understandings I have of followers of Jesus not being consumers. But they are commissioned. Absolutely commissioned to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ in the face of what now looks to be like a second cultural revolution in China as the Communist Party reasserts itself and is closing churches at a rate that we haven't seen in the last few decades. I'm not sure what I'm going to teach them. I think I'm going to end up talking while they're teaching me. I'm not sure how that happens, but I feel very humbled to be there. Matter of fact, it was about 300, but the number is going down because the pastors are being arrested. And they're being put in prison so they can't come. So friends, there's a issue in the Western world that we need to grapple with. I am not here to consume. I am here to be commissioned. I am not here to take. I am here to give. I'm not here to receive. I'm here to pour myself out as Jesus did to the people around me and to the people who don't know Jesus, that they would come to know Christ. We find ourselves first in Deuteronomy. I'm going to go through this really quickly. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel at the beginning of Deuteronomy, and he's giving them the really bad news here. He said, you were unwilling to go up. So you were unwilling to go across the Jordan into the promised land when God called you. You said no. You were disobedient. God put a vision before you, a calling before you, and you refused. Instead of going up, it says you grumbled in your tents. that you actually went back and you got into your families and in your groups and you got around one another and you grumbled and you complained. And what happened then in verse 28, he says, our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. That's the result of grumbling. That's a result of pointing out all of these things that make us uncomfortable, is it creates fear. Friends, I don't have to go very far into the news this week to illustrate that for all of us. What happens when groups of people start becoming hyper-fragmented and grumbling is that fear reigns supreme. Because of that fear here of the children of Israel, even though that Moses went before them and said, do not be terrified, do not be afraid, the Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. That verse goes on to say that like a father, he carried you like a child throughout Egypt, took you across the Red Sea. And Moses looks at the children of Israel and he says, in spite of this, you did not trust the Lord your God. So friends, those are seminal moments in our life when we're called to a promised land as individuals, as families, in our occupations, in a calling to do something great in the ministry of our Lord, the calling on churches, the callings on communities. There are times in which the Lord says, I want you to cross this river, and I'm going to take you across this river. You need to trust me because great things are coming, and we have a choice. We go, we trust God based on the fact that we can look back in our history and see that he's always carried us like a father has carried a child. Or we can grumble, create fear, and end up like this group of Israelites that God is talking to. Because they didn't go, God said, fine, I'm going to keep you here, and you're going to wander around in the dirt until this generation passes away. This generation, God said to the Israelites, will not see the promised land because of your behavior. Now we skip through and we get into Joshua. And we find ourselves in a place where this is the next generation now. Joshua has taken over from Moses. He is now the leader. He's right on the edge of the Jordan River. They can see the promised land. And it says here in chapter 3 that when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant ahead of them. The Ark of the Covenant, you know, kind of a big box here, and there's poles under it, or poles alongside of it through the loops, and the priests are carrying it in there, are all the vital antiquities of God, the Ten Commandment tablets are in there, other things are in there, and it's the image of the holiness of God, the very presence of God. God is literally going before them across this river in the hands of the priests. And the priests, they go down, the Jordan at flood stage. Oh, now you got to get a clue here. When God calls us to great things, he makes it so we have to have great faith. Because that's the muscle that makes the ministry happen. So God didn't wait until low stage, trickle of the Jordan. God doesn't stop it up. I think I can see the rocks to walk across on. Now, God made this so the Israelites would have to have great faith and he could show great power. See, friends, that's why. Well, why does God make it hard? Actually, if you look at it, he doesn't make it hard. He makes it so he can show you how much he is on your side, how much he is for you, how much he wants to benefit and bless and use you for great things. So the Jordan is at flood stage. It's roaring down through here. And now, yet as the soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water's edge, and the water from upstream stopped flowing. Now, friends, if some of you have been over there with Ray Vanderlaan and others, right at this very place where we believe the Israelites crossed, it's not like the beach down at the state park where there's this long walk to the shallow part of the river. No, it's a hill. It's a hill right down to the edge of the water. And as soon as the priests crest the hill, they're sliding to the water. And the Israelites are coming behind them, a whole horde of people. And they crest that river, they're sliding to the water. It's not like, let's dip a toe in. No, they crest the hill, they're in. And there's this trust that God will do what he said he's going to do. The water stopped. The people crossed over opposite of Jericho. The priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God stopped in the middle of the Jordan, stood on dry ground while all the Israelites passed until the whole nation had completed its crossing on dry ground. So there's the image of God, right? God leads you, and then he comes behind you. God leads you, and he stays in the most critical, most violent part of the issue until you're through it, and then he follows you out of it. It's not like God gets himself through it and says, gee, I hope you're okay. No, he stays in the chaos until the chaos becomes a blessing. Joshua is now across. He's looking at Jericho. This is the first major battle that these Israelites are going to face. We really have no understanding why it was Jericho, except it was the first great city they came to. They crossed right across from Jericho, so here they are, this great fortress, this promise that God has given them of milk and honey and freedom and the ability to worship him. All of that is before them, but friends, there's a process now of continuing to trust God and continuing to allow him to take away the barriers and the walls. You see, friends, here's one of the mistakes we make about Christianity, that, gee, once I come to Jesus, it's just, that's it. That coming to Jesus is a finish line. No, coming to Jesus is a starting line. Every Sunday is a starting line where we have the ability to see more of God, more of his greatness, and have him accomplish more through us than he's ever done before. And so they get across the Jordan, they're in the promised land, and here's Jericho. And now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said, are you for us or are you one of our enemies? Joshua's new at this, friends. It's kind of a new deal for him. He's leading God's chosen people. And he gets across the Jordan. I don't know if I'm him. I'm thinking, God, maybe a week, 10 days off. Maybe an all-inclusive somewhere. Something. Now, I'm taking you to the promised land, Joshua, because I have work for you to do to glorify my name. And this man shows up with a sword drawn, and he has the courage to walk up to him and say, friend or foe? And the answer is neither. As the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Who was the last person in the Old Testament to have that instruction given to him? Moses. This is Joshua's Moses moment. This is his commissioning. This is his anointing. It happens on the other side of the river. It happens on the other side of the faith obstacle. It happens after obedience. It happens after fear is replaced by trust. He crosses a river in front of the people, and then the commander of the Lord's army shows up. The commander, I mean, we're talking the man. Some theologians feel this may have been a pre-incarnational appearance of Jesus. I don't know if it is or not. All I know is that this guy announces himself as the one who leads everything on behalf of God. And he shows up and he says, Joshua, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off. I have a holy message for you. And he says, now the gates of Jericho were secured, barred because of the Israelites. So here, these Israelites have crossed the river. They're not great warriors yet, but God had put a fear into the enemies. God had put a fear into those who were standing in the way of God's will. No one went in or out. The Lord said to Joshua, verse 2, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. Joshua just had to kind of shake his head at that moment. What? See, I have delivered Jericho. The doors are barred. He's standing in front of a fortress. He's got a group of warriors behind him who have not fought. They're green. They're a young generation. They've been wandering around in the wilderness eating manna and quail that the Lord is providing. They didn't even have to make their own food. And God basically says, Joshua, this is not about your power, it's about my power. It's not about your ability, it's about my ability. It's not about how you feel about yourself, it's about how you feel about me. He says, I've given Jericho into your hands, all of its fighting men and all of its people. And then he gives them the plan. March around the city once with all the armed men and do this 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with a priest blowing the trumpets. The trumpets were shofars. The shofars signaled the presence of the Lord. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, then the wall of the city will collapse. The army will go up, everyone straight in. You got to ask yourself some questions about this passage. Why announce victory? Why does God announce victory before it happens? God always announces the gifts he wants to give us before he gives them to us. Read Scripture. He promises full life. He promises that we won't be anxious or fear when, or be afraid when we pray. He promises that our salvation is secure through Jesus Christ. He says to us, here are the finish lines I'm taking you to. Here are the things I've already given you. They're right here. And he says to Joshua, this is my power. This is my strength. I'm giving you this city. I'm fulfilling my promise. Why 7 times? It's a holy number in Scripture. God is clearly saying to Joshua, this is not going to be you. It's going to be me. This is a ridiculous plan, Joshua. Can you imagine when Joshua went back and told, you know, he had to have some young warriors there, right? Some kids whose dads were great warriors for the Israelites who shared all the stories in the wilderness, right? They were flying around there. These guys are ready. They've got a divide and destroy, plan drawn up, a pincers movement, maybe a precursor to George S. Patton's way of attacking Sicily. Who knows what they had? And Joshua goes back, I got a plan. I got it from the commander of the Lord's army. We're supposed to take Jericho without ever taking our spears off our shoulder. Great plan! But you see, in the plan embedded is the face and the holiness of the power of God. 7 times, it's holy. Why the ark first? It's his presence. They just watched the ark stop the Jordan. See, God doesn't ask us to do something that doesn't have a seed of his previous work in our life present. Right? Great is thy faithfulness. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. We've written countless hymns about this. We don't have to look very far back in our life to see what God can do in our future. Horns blown on the 7th day with the presence of God, a loud shout that's there signifying worship and victory. And why victory without a fight? Because God did not want the children of Israel to take credit. It was pride that locked the previous generation in the wilderness, and God didn't want this generation to go there. They were humble, they were amazed, they were expectant, and they were obedient. That's what promised land people are. That's what we're called to be. Humble. Amazed. Expecting things to happen and obeying God when he says go. Wilderness people or promised land people? Grumbling in our tents and set on fear, or humble and amazed and expectant and obedient? Friends, our homes and schools and communities and country and world have not longed in my lifetime for promised land people more than they are today. Across our globe, the countries and the people groups are crying out for a fresh wind, a fresh sense of God, and a fresh understanding of the Church of Jesus Christ. The church can't be something that we are not. This is just a building. It's a building where the Church of Jesus Christ meets. We are the church. Are we in that point of expecting that when we follow what God has called us to be as a New Testament church, that God will in fact show up and bring the restoration of hearts and lives and families in us and through us? By humbling ourselves and saying that nothing we have done in the past had anything to do with us, and nothing we will have in the future will have anything to do with our strength and our ability, and nothing that we have is worth bragging about, that everything that God has given us is an offering to Him. And praying on our knees with such faith that we expect God to work. That we head down to that Jordan River and we dive in, because we know that God keeps His promises. And then when God says go, we go. We've watched Him stop the river before. Knocking down walls is no big deal. Lord, eliminate every wall that keeps me from being a commissioned, promised land person who is leading everyone I come in contact with to increasingly full life in Jesus. That's our prayer. And the prayer next week as we walk, as we pray together, it will be that, and it will move to, Lord, eliminate every wall that keeps us from being a commissioned promised land church who is leading everyone we come in contact with to increasingly full life in Jesus. Lord, get us across a river. Lord, let us see Your glory. Amen.